Welcome back to The Takeaway. I'm Melissa Harris-Perry. Okay, y'all, we're revisiting another conversation I had earlier this year about the critically acclaimed movie, The Woman King. And let me just say that since this conversation aired, the movie has received quite a few award nominations, including a Golden Globe nod for Viola Davis. So let's get into it.
We fight not just for today, but for the future. We are the spear of victory. We are the blade of freedom.
The Woman King is based on the real-life West African woman warriors of the Dahomey Kingdom, known as the Agogi. Fierce, lethal, and skilled in hand-to-hand combat, the Agogi originated in the 17th century and eventually grew to a force of 6,000 strong. The movie doesn't shy away from slavery or the fact that the Dahomey participated in the transatlantic slave trade while trying to protect their people and kingdom. The Woman King is complex and nuanced, and it is entirely Black woman-centered.
My name is Gina Prince-Bythewood, director of The Woman King.
I'm Kathy Schulman, producer of The Woman King.
And I got to be honest, this movie really brought up a lot of emotions for me. I asked director Gina Prince-Bythewood about her process and what it was like for her and for this extraordinary cast on the set.
Well, let's start with putting together this cast. It was such an incredible group of women, and I knew I wanted a couple specific things. Foremost, I wanted women actors with incredible chops, but also incredible passion to tell the story, because I knew the amount of work that it would take. I knew where they would need to go. And to do that kind of work, you have to be passionate. And the other important thing was that in telling this specific story about these women, I wanted to make sure that we pulled women from all over our diaspora to come together to tell the story. So African-American women, women from South Africa, women from London, women from Jamaica, Uganda, West Africa, to come together on the continent to tell this story together. And that's the vibe that it was, and the incredible sisterhood that was built with it and for this. And there were days where it was completely joyous and fun, and there were other days which were incredibly hard for the actors. These are actors who feel things so deeply and gutturally. And it was, at the end of the day, on me as the director to create a space where they felt safe to give us everything. And they absolutely did.
When you talk about pulling folks from across the diaspora and doing so on the continent, can you maybe just give me a sense of some part of your process in terms of those initial days of building rapport? Because I'm trying not to give anything away. So much of the film is about the ways that a particular kind of sisterhood that is facing extraordinary odds and violence and loss nonetheless find a way to stand for one another. And so I'm assuming that some of that had to be created in the 21st century, right? And yet looking back.
It really did start with everyone's why, of why they came to tell the story. This is a group of women who are deeply connected spiritually to their ancestors, and they felt like they were honoring them, and in that they needed to do the work. The work that they had to do, it was part of the rehearsal process, part of building character, and part of building the sisterhood. The training that they did, it was imperative to me that they did their own fighting and own stunts. I needed them to be the ones doing it. It makes for better action. I think it makes for better storytelling when you get performance within these moments. To do that, though, you have to put in the work. And this was months of training and hardcore training, 2 times a day, 6 days a week. And to go through that experience together was so bonding for these women, because they had to root for each other. They were competitive in the best way with each other. They had to pull each other up when you're crying, when you don't feel like you can get through it. They were there for each other in the most beautiful ways. And that just centers you, bonds you. So by the time we got on set, this was such a strong group of women who were incredibly bonded and incredibly eager to then tell the story and embody these women who were real life women.
Kathy, I kept thinking to myself, how did this get greenlit? Did people know what this was? I'm wondering about the actual process of getting to the point where this story told in this way with this kind of budget was possible.
Yeah, well, without a doubt, there's still a part of me wondering how it actually happened. It feels a bit like a miracle. But there were a number of factors at play. I mean, first of all, you know, the marketplace is enormously crowded right now. And that's something that's happened, you know, obviously with the increased content coming out of the streamers. Whereas in the past, you know, selling ideas had a lot to do with telling, you know, studios what made something similar to what they've done before. There's starting to be a kind of crack in that where one way to bring an audience is to identify content that is actually self-distinguishing. So its uniqueness became a badge of honor for it. And the idea was to really lean into its uniqueness and explain to a studio why this could stand out in a crowded marketplace.
Now, Maria Bello is one of the writers. Can you say a little bit about the process that you had, Kathy, in terms of working with her initially?
Yeah, Maria took a trip to Benin and came back from that trip, and she told me the story of the Agogia warriors. And honestly, when I first heard it, I didn't believe it was completely real, but most importantly, that this army of women had been so successful in its intentions. And so we started to, you know, talk about a time and a place within the 500-year history of this particular culture to set a story. And, you know, we were fascinated by the notion that the warriors took a vow of chastity. And in looking at a place for drama, if someone says you need to take a vow of chastity, the question of what would happen if you broke it became sort of interesting. Not sort of interesting, very interesting. And that sort of kicked off the process. And then shortly, you know, thereafter, once we were at the studio, Dana Stevens came on board and really cracked the full story and exactly when to set it at this very intersectional kind of moment for the Oyo and the Dahomey tribes, right at sort of towards the end of their historic battle with one another. You know, from there, we developed the screenplay for a couple of years.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll come back with more of my conversation about The Woman King with Gina Prince-Bythewood and Kathy Shulman. We've got more of my conversation with director Gina Prince-Bythewood and producer Kathy Shulman about the film The Woman King. Now, I asked Prince Bythewood about the cinematic and narrative choices she made to include particular forms of sexual violence.
I knew how I wanted to shoot it immediately because I'd never wanted it to feel exploitive in any way. I wanted to be truthful to it, and I wanted to be truthful to the character. And for me, it was always going to be from her point of view. And it was really... In, you know, Roxane Gay's book, Hunger, was an incredibly important read for me, as well as thinking about the testimony of Christine Ford. And both women spoke about remembering more what they heard and images and moments that they saw. And that was the way that I wanted to approach it, truly from Naniska's point of view and truly evoking what, after 20 years, this trauma that felt like yesterday, to make it feel visceral without triggering was my hope. You know, this line of trauma is incredibly important to Naniska's character. It was incredibly important to Viola to portray this. We spoke a lot about what happened in Rwanda, certainly, and happens in many, many countries where there's war and conflict, where women are the targets and use, and this was no different. And so a lot of thought went into it. And again, I feel like women have, it's the reason why more of us should be directing, because we often do see it portrayed in movies, and it has to be done the right way. It can never be used as strictly a plot point for anything other than, I hope, the way that we used it, which was fully character-based.
As hard as that aspect was for me to watch as a survivor, as simply as a human, I was able to get through that part of the film. But I will say, there came a moment when, and I want to be clear, I was watching this alone in a movie theater, in a preview, and I started heaving, weeping, crying. And I just, to be clear, I don't like 99% of movies, and I'm a hard nut to crack on that kind of thing. And it was, without giving anything away, it was the point that you made earlier about the connection to ancestors. And there is a moment where I am rooting for a character to take her own life. I see what looks like is going to be a moment moving into intergenerational chattel bondage. And I am like, no, girl, just don't let him take you. Don't go across that Atlantic.
Mm-hmm.
And in a way that never in another film did it hit me that I wouldn't exist, except that most went ahead and got on that ship knowing that they had that option to take their own lives and they didn't. And it's the only reason I exist. And it took me out. Gina, I could barely recover to see the rest of it.
Mm.
It's not that I didn't already know that. It's not that I hadn't already written about that kind of thing. It's something about how this film gets us to that gateway to slavery wiped me out. Suddenly it shifted how I saw the film so that it felt both like the story you're telling, but also like this broader allegory about our diaspora. I don't even know that I have a question. I wanted more than anything to share with you the effect that that had on me.
It's an incredible thing to hear, because that is what we were feeling on set. On those days that we were in WIDA, was incredibly tough, and there were tears behind closed doors. And then when we got on set, it was because you're walking in front of hundreds of people, and you don't know the intent of every single person, where they come from, what they're thinking. And for us, certainly it was the depths of what we were portraying, knowing that we were portraying our ancestors and what they went through. It was, you cannot describe shooting something like that and preparing for that. There was no laughter. There was, if you look into the actors' eyes on those days, they were in another place. And it's what's so incredible about these women. And it's one of the hardest things as a director to ask of others to go to that place, but they were willing to go because our ancestors went to that place, were forced into that place.
There were no smiles or laughter in those moments, but there is a lot of joy in the film. I want people to know that as well. There is some incredible dancing, there's singing, there's intrigue, there's, you know, there's a little romance, there's a lot of tenderness, and there's a lot of just straight up good action scenes. Kathy, talk to me a little bit about finding that balance.
I think that the best kinds of stories to tell are those stories where we can find truths and universality without being cloying, you know, laugh and cry in the same stories. You know, the goal here was to find a way to tell this story that could also be done in a commercial way for a wide audience, because the crucial importance of a story like this needs to get to everyone. So the biggest goal is, you know, to bring in the largest worldwide audience of people of all types and all backgrounds to come see this crucial story to help us better understand one another. I don't like to be grandiose, but I truly believe that the stories we tell through movie making are the best way to make the world a better place, because people get their information off of screens. And if we learn more about people who aren't like ourselves, we have a much better chance of understanding one another. And with understanding comes a much greater unity and much better decision-making as nations. So the idea was to anchor a sort of traditional heroic journey with all of its pain and suffering with the glory of success, which is a lot of what makes the movie both entertaining and victorious. And I thank you very much for saying, you know, that the movie, while it is anchored in these enormously difficult issues, does in fact celebrate the heroism and the courage of these women. And most importantly to me, the sisterhood that all women can have. I mean, this movie making experience was a glorious sisterhood in every way.
Gina Prince Bythewood, director of The Woman King, and Kathy Schulman, producer for the film. Thank you both for the film, and thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.